Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. Today's sermon was preached last Sunday, the 13th of April. I was privileged to be the guest preacher at St. Timothy Lutheran Church in Williamsburg, Iowa, at the congregation's celebration of their 10th anniversary. That portion of the Word of God that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, where we read as follows, in the name of Jesus. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul confesses his weakness and his fear. He trembled before the congregation in Corinth as he declared to them God's word. Why? Did he fear them? By no means. He feared God. No man has the right to stand up before others and preach God's word unless God has put him there to do so. And when God has put him there to do so, the people of God listen. They listen as if God himself is talking to them because God himself is talking to them. The fact that God chooses to speak through men does not make it any less God speaking than if he chose to speak directly from heaven. When the man of God speaks for God, he does so in fear and trembling because he knows he has no right to stand up and spout off his own opinions or attempt to impress God's people with his own rhetorical skills. He is there to speak for God, and God always speaks with authority. But it is precisely this claim that a preacher preaches with divine authority that so offends our generation. It is as if there is no message from God that we can know for certain. It is as if every preacher simply spouts off his own notions. And this is to be expected. But God himself has always spoken through men. And the Apostle Paul knew this, and that's why when he was sent to be an apostle, he didn't rely on human wisdom. This is why when he preached, he was trembling with fear. He felt so very weak. And it wasn't because of the great social status of the members of the congregation in Corinth. They didn't have any social status. It wasn't because Paul was afraid of public speaking. He was a very good public speaker. No, it was because God had sent Paul to preach, and Paul knew that of himself, he was utterly unworthy to do so. The world and the false but respectable church despise dogmatic claims to truth. And when they are told that the preacher's voice is God's voice, they sneer, they dismiss it, they say why this is no better than being cultists holding on to religious delusions. Who are you to think that your preachers preach from God? Well, we certainly don't think much of ourselves. And yet God tells us to speak his words, and he promises us that they are his power to bring salvation to the lost and to spark into flame true faith, faith that receives all of the treasures of heaven. And this is why we must be certain that the ministers that we have receive calls from God to preach. This means that God puts them into office through the call of the congregation, and he does so according to his word. It also means that if a minister is to be removed from the preaching office, this must be done according to the word of God. Because if the minister isn't called by God, he has no business in the pulpit preaching. Perhaps most ministers don't understand that. They share, they philosophize, they pontificate. But unless God put him there to preach, we really ought not to pay any attention. The gospel is always proclaimed through men. God instituted an office of preaching, and God uses the office of preaching, and he preaches the message of Christ crucified. It isn't enough that someone is up there talking as if with authority. It is always the preaching of the cross. Christ was crucified for sinners, and the preaching of Christ crucified for sinners is what God has been doing through men for 2,000 years. The gospel doesn't float around in space and zap us as we walk on by, but the gospel is preached. It is a message, a word, a communication, if you will, and its message has a meaning, and its meaning goes against the grain, against the wisdom of this world, against all human expectations. And when we defend the ministry and the call into the ministry of the word, we aren't doing so to elevate men. We are doing so for the sake of the gospel, because if a minister can be hired and fired by the whim of men, then he certainly is no minister of Christ. But if Christ didn't send him, how can you possibly trust him? So we always defend the ministry for the sake of the gospel. And you don't need a pastor to preach. You don't need a church to attend. If you don't need the gospel, if all you want is to learn how to live a decent and respectable life, you can turn on your television and listen to all sorts of good advice. But if you know you're a sinner, and if your sins burden your conscience and your soul, and you may even be afraid of going to hell, and you know you need a Savior, why, then you know that you need the preaching of Christ crucified, because that's the heart of it all. Isaiah is speaking God's word when he says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." He formed us, his holy church. He redeemed us. He shed his blood for us. We belong to him because he has purchased us. As God says later on in the book of the prophet Isaiah, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." Our value before God is never mere potential. It's not as if God looks at us the way the basketball coach looks at the tall young man who, with some vigorous training, just might become a valuable player. No, our value before God is real before we've done a thing. We are inscribed on the palms of his hands, and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus is what determines our value before God. We are as precious to God as is the blood of his dear Son, and this is why he teaches us through his inspired apostle that he wants to know nothing among us except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the heart of it all. You need it in the center of your life, whoever you may be. What did you do yesterday? Think about it. What did you think, say, or do? Did you think, say, and do everything you thought, said, and did in accordance with the standards of holiness that God has set down for you to obey? Did you despise your neighbor and stand in proud judgment of him? Did you take for yourself what you should have given to another? Did you misuse God's name? Did you neglect God's word? Did you set your affections on what you have no right to, while despising the gifts God gave to you? And if you are guilty of sin, tell me, what is a sinner before a holy God? What does a holy God do to sinners? Or is God too blind to see what you've done, or too weak to punish you for it? What do you need? You need obedience, but you haven't done it. You need it, but you can't provide it. And your membership in the right church, the church that stands on God's word, the church that defends the institution and ordinance of God, will avail you nothing when you stand before the judgment seat of God and he sees you as you have thought, spoken, and done. But what God has entrusted to his church, and what the faithful preachers preach in God's church, will avail before God as God looks upon you. For Christ's voice sounds forth. Sinners come to church burdened by sins that they cannot undo, and they are told of how Jesus suffered on the cross for them, how he suffered on account of their sins to bear their guilt, to placate God's righteous anger against them that their sins had brought upon them, to reconcile them to God by washing away their sin by his blood. He suffered so that we would be forgiven. Now, Christ was crucified for us only once, but once was enough. And yet we need the forgiveness of sins every single day more than the air that we breathe. And this is why we need the preaching of Christ crucified. The Evangelical Lutheran Church, not to be confused with any denomination or synod, but that church that teaches what the Catechism and the Lutheran Confessions teach, that is the biblical teaching of the Holy Christian Church, has always insisted that at the very heart of the Christian faith is this truth that God forgives us all our sins on account of the suffering and death of Jesus, that God gives this forgiveness freely without our deserving it in any way, and that this forgiveness is ours by faith alone. And this isn't just one teaching among many, but this is the heart and soul of the Christian religion. God justifies us. He reckons us to be righteous on the basis of Christ's obedience, not our own. And this righteousness of Christ is given to us in holy baptism, in the preaching of the gospel, and as we eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. We know that this is the heart of the Christian faith, because St. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't look like much. He was covered with blood. He cried out in thirst. He was publicly shamed as he suffered crucifixion between criminals. And as he was crucified, he appeared in weakness as a failure. But he was no failure. There in his suffering is the power of God. There is a power that reduces to insignificance the most eloquent and persuasive oratory of men. For there in Christ's suffering, the sin that hurts us, that seeks to claim us, that would condemn us, was born. Where Jesus bore our sins, he washed them away. He forgave us. And that is the power of God, and that is the open door to heaven. And that is why we preach as St. Paul teaches us to preach, Christ crucified for sinners. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us. Please come and visit one of the congregations of our parish. First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, 8 o'clock Sunday morning. Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, 9:30 Sunday morning. And First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, 11:30 Sunday morning. Tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.